Now have you ever stopped to wonder why the world's in such a mess? Why there's so much mindless mayhem on the TV and the press? Why so many busy businessmen are snapping from the stress? And the rest of us are jogging from depression. Now has it ever once occurred to you or ever crossed your mind that the problems of this nation are created by design? That no matter what they tell you, there's another bottom line, intertwined between the patterns of deception. Since our eyes were first opened and our ears began to hear, they've been herding us like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a looping and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same who stake a claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism, there's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. So if you ever get a chance to get a copy of your own, just remember not to ever leave it lying around your home. Cause you never know just where their snoopy news reporters roam. That might even be a friend or close relation. It's the cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. It's the source of communism, it's the global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control our destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. The learned elders of Zion.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this morning, February 10th, 2018. We welcome you folks out there. And we welcome you men. Good morning, John. And good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
And John, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we do love you and we praise you. And Lord, we thank you for all of our many blessings. We thank you for this time that you set aside for us to just come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says. Father, we thank you for the trials, the tribulations, and the blessings. We, your people, who are called by the word of God. Romans 8:28 says that you work all things for good, for those that love you and abide in you and are called by your purpose. And Father, we thank you for that promise. And although we don't understand sometimes, someday we will. Father, guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding. Bring us to the topics that are important to your people, the remnant, Lord, and show us how they tie in to your word, because we know that your word, the holy word of God, is the living word, and that it will continue to give as long as we continue to seek, as long as we continue to desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we continue to thank you for the answer to prayer, that the things in the dark would be brought to the light. Father, we ask that you would confound the plans of the enemy, that you would send confusion into their camp, and that they would fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. And we pray that your justice would be done regarding all of these wicked, vile things that have been done to your people in the dark. Father, let them all be brought out, and let them all either come to repentance or destruction. Continue to send your ministering angels to those that are yours, Lord, to remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, that they might fall upon their face and cry out for forgiveness. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would move through this land, and that it would bring to mind any bitterness or unforgiveness that your people may be harboring towards one another. And Father, that they would confess that wicked, vile sin, so that Satan would have no legal ground to operate in their lives. Father, we cancel any satanic assignments that may have been sent against ourselves or any of your remnant, Lord. We ask that you would send guardian angels to be about your people, protect them from the evil wickedness that's in the land. We plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord Jesus Christ over ourselves and our families, all that you blessed us with, and over the entire remnant, Father. And let this broadcast this morning be a mighty blow to Satan. Father, I thank you for Carl Klang and the commission that you gave him many years ago to expose the evil wickedness within the world. Just pray, Father, if it's possible, that you would bring him to repentance and that he would just cry out and ask for forgiveness and come back into the fold. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, one of the things that I thought that we'd start off with, and it's really not something that's generally related to the news, but this past week I was talking with Brother Josh from down in Louisiana, and I was talking about something, and I was complaining about something, and it was kind of interesting, because one of the things out of his mouth is, he's like, well, have you ever stopped and thanked God for that? And, you know, it was like, and I stopped and I thought about it and I said, no, I've never done that. And I said, you know what, right now I could thank God for it, but I wouldn't mean it anyway. And, and we laughed, and it was like God, it was like God was speaking to me, and I got a second witness, a day or two later, because I had this article that, came across my desk, and it says, why does God allow us to go through trials and tribulations? And I want to read just first two paragraphs on it, and then we'll talk about it. It says, answer, one of the most difficult parts of a Christian's life is the fact that becoming a disciple of Christ does not make us immune to life's trials and tribulations. Why would a good and loving God allow us to go through such things as death of a child, disease and injury to ourselves and our loved ones, financial hardships, worry and fear? Surely, if he loved us, he would take all of these things away from us. After all, doesn't loving us mean he wants our lives to be as easy and comfortable? Well, no, it doesn't. The Bible clearly teaches that God loves those who are his children, and he works all things together for good for us, Romans 8:28. So that must mean that the trials and tribulations he allows in our lives are part of the working together of all things for good. Therefore, Therefore, for the believer, all trials and tribulations must have a divine purpose. As in all things, God's ultimate purpose for us is to grow more and more into the image of His Son, Romans 8:29. This is the goal of the Christian and everything in life, including the trials and tribulations. It is designed to enable us to reach that goal. It is part of the process of sanctification, being set apart for God's purpose and fitted to live for His glory. The way trials accomplish this are explained in 1 Peter 1:6 through 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials that are proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The true believer's faith will be made sure by the trials we experience so that we can rest in the knowledge that it is real and will last forever. And I thought that was a really good short, kind of an explanation of basically a testimony of, you know, going through trials and tribulations, because that's one of the things that, you know, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and it's like, you know, why am I going through this? What is happening? You know, sometimes, and I believe it's very important, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago here on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's, you know, when you're going through something, when things are happening, number one, I try to do is stop and say, okay, is this something? Am I bringing this upon myself? And if so, what am I doing? And if you think that that's the case, just ask the Lord to reveal it to you. And, you know, all the times that's not the case. Sometimes it's exactly what we're talking about right here. It's those trials and tribulations that He's putting us through, trying to draw us closer to Him.
Yeah, amen. You know, if you think about, I was listening carefully to what you said, and a lot of that is what our pastor taught us from at least day one that I've been around.
Yes.
And then I think we expounded upon that last year at Branson. The sanctification thing is such a key piece to being able to understand why we go through those trials and tribulations. And, you know, our goal is to be holy. Granted, we fall short of that. The other thing that we came to realize after our pastor was called home was the fact that one of the biggest keys to this thing is obedience. You know, in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6 says that we're to take all thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and then it says He's ready to punish their disobedience when our obedience is complete. Well, what does that look like? In my opinion, that looks like when we love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And when you get to that point, then the Lord has control of your life. Anything that happens in your life, there's really nothing that you can do about it. And one of the other things that our pastor taught us constantly as he went through trials and tribulations, pretty much constantly, basically just to teach us so that, Lord willing, we wouldn't have to go through and learn the same way that he learned, was the fact that he would say, be thankful for all things, and even the trials and tribulations. And I remember the first Sunday he brought that, and I'm thinking, really? We're supposed to be thankful for all of these things that happen in our lives that are contradictory to, you know, what we want? And but the teaching he gave was the fact that, well, you want to pass the test the first time or you want to take it again, because that's what it's all about. Lord tells you to be thankful for all things. That means we're to be thankful for all things.
You know, Jason, it's funny that you bring this topic up. The last 2 days, I had the opportunity to work by myself, and I really like those opportunities because if I'm by myself, I kind of get into a mechanical mode, and my mind can drift. And generally what happens is I'm thinking about things that happen in my life, thinking about God, thinking about my next move, whatever it might be. And there's been something in my life where I've been irritated by it for, you know, I don't know, 20 years or so. And the thought occurred to me just yesterday. Maybe I should ask God why. Why is this making me so mad? I don't know about mad, but literally, as soon as I asked that, the Lord explained to me, and it's because I think a lot of times these trials and tribulations that we go through, it's because God wants us to know how he feels about a certain thing. Take Hosea for an example. You know, he had the wives that God told him to marry. You know, that's not something that you want to bring home to mom and dad and say, this is a woman that I married because they were prostitutes. Well, what was the reason why God had him marry those women? It was because...
So he could relate
God
to the people.
Yeah, because God wanted Hosea to know what it felt like to God in his relationship with Israel. So a lot of times God wants us to know what it feels like personally. And then we can do our job better in serving him as a result, because we understand more clearly how God is looking at it. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes a lot of sense. And I believe that that's one of the... I believe that's one of the reasons why... there was a requirement for elders and men in the church to be married, because, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is so oftentimes when I get angry with my wife or I get upset with her about something she says or something that she does, you know, and you stop and think about it and you ask yourself, have I ever done this to God? Usually you have.
You're probably not going to like the answer.
And you're not. And it just like, and you stop and you think about that, and it's like, okay, all right. And a lot of times it brings stuff to mind. I mean, I really believe that that's why, you know, a husband and wife have the relationship that they do. And, you know, if you take that and think about the emotions that you have as a husband, and then put yourself in, and don't put yourself in God's shoes, but think about you being that wife of God, and have I ever caused God this pain? Have I ever had him disappointed in me? Have I ever said things? Have things come out of my mouth? Have I, you know, he wanted one thing and I've done another thing? You know, and you start thinking about that, it puts everything into perspective really, really quick.
Yes, it does.
Well, I don't know. That's where I wanted to start off with, and we can move on at any time. I don't know. Either one of you gentlemen have any place you want to go specifically?
I can expound a little bit on what you were saying as well.
Absolutely. Well, go right ahead.
I think it's... I got to get my train of thought again, but I think it's important to realize that I think it was Brother Steve, maybe a couple of years ago, brought a communion message, and he brought up something profound, I think, and that was that why don't we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us anything in our lives that shouldn't be there, or anything that may not be pleasing to God, because there's a lot of things that we do that may not be pleasing to us, but there's even more that are not pleasing to God. And I thought that was a revelation. But the other thing is, for some reason, I've been thrown into marriage counseling with several different couples lately. And I think one of the things that's helped more than anything is to, I tell them to just, you know, that night, just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you any bitterness or unforgiveness that you're harboring towards any one person. And so far, the results have just been phenomenal. And it goes along with the same lines of what you say. I think when you sincerely ask the Lord to reveal to you, like what Zach said, why is this in my life, or why am I harboring this bitterness or unforgiveness or whatever? But one of the instances was young man who, well, you know, around my age, but had something traumatic happen to him when he was, you know, less than 10 years old, and it was of a sexual nature, and he just had rage and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness, but he didn't really know exactly. It was one of two relatives and didn't know exactly what it was, but that bitterness and unforgiveness was tearing at him his whole life. And then there were things in his and his wife's marriage for 27 years that had happened early on that they said they had forgiven each other, but every time they got in a real knockdown, drag-out fight, those things would come up again. And I said, well, then you haven't forgiven each other. Well, what do you mean? But anyways, long story short, if there's something that's hindering your walk with the Lord, if there's something that's hindering you from having that life abundant that the Lord Jesus Christ says is the life that he wants for each and every one of us that are his, then most likely the evil one has stolen it, whether that's a generational curse, whether that's a door that you opened, a conduit that you created. Our pastor was kind of just touching on those things before he was called home, but I just think it's important to realize that if you're born again of the water and the Spirit, you've been properly immersed and baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, clothed with Christ, and your name is entered in the Lamb's Book of Life, then that gives you access to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so many times, I don't think we use that, but if we ask, you know, how many times does the Lord say, you have not because you ask not? And if we sincerely ask, Lord, what is it in my life that's causing this issue, or what is it that's hindering my walk, or, you know, he will reveal it. He is faithful to reveal those things which are hindering his people.
Yes, I would agree with that. And, I mean, it's one of those things I've noticed, too, and I learned this from Dad years ago. It's you know, even, you know, you start asking God questions. Sometimes it's like you said, Zach, sometimes you ask it, and all of a sudden, he just explains it to you. You get it right then and there. And I've experienced that a number of times, where it's like, okay, you're trying to figure something out, and you ask God to show you, and all of a sudden, boom, it's just like you can... it's like you put glasses on and you can just see everything clearly. There's other times where you pray and you ask, and it might be, I've had it where it's been 2 years down the road. And I think that that's one of those things when God says, okay, you weren't ready yet. And all of a sudden, boom, you know, you'll be driving down the road or sitting at your desk or something. And all of a sudden it's like, boom, it's right there. It's downloaded. And all of a sudden you understand it. And, you know, I think it's important to ask questions, to pray and ask. To seek wisdom, to seek knowledge, to seek understanding, and to ask these questions. You know, why is this going on in my life? Why is this going on in my friend's life? What can I do to help them? And, you know, it's like some people, they think that that's completely... some people just don't do that because it seems hideous to them. You know, they don't... and I think that it's because they really don't believe that we're following a living God.
Well, and just the fact that if we don't ask questions to God when we're in a situation, then I think it kind of makes us, how do I want to put this? It's putting ourselves
above
in
God,
the driver's seat.
Right.
And, you know, we're not saying, okay, Lord, you're the boss. Okay, you know, each and every one of us that got baptized and actually meant it, and we were made a new creation or new creature, then that we signed up for that. That means Jesus is boss. And if we're not asking him questions, and then that means he's not going to answer, then how can we, you know, accomplish the mission that the Lord sets before us? And the answer is you can't. And how long did I go along without asking a simple question? And the answer is actually quite embarrassing. But I finally did do it. And I'm actually glad you brought this topic up, because we need to understand that the Lord is the boss, and we got to take orders from him. And if we're not asking questions, then we can't receive the right information that he wants us to have. And I think it's very important. Then if we're not receiving the right information that he wants us to have, then we cannot act on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
A lot of times I think we have to be receptive to how the Lord reveals it to us, too. Sometimes it may be through a message that we hear. Sometimes it may be through a friend who shares a similar experience. Sometimes it may be just, the revealing of the Holy Spirit. But or we may go through an experience that shows us the answer. So I think we have to have proper discernment, too, to be able to determine, you know, what it is that the Lord's showing us at the proper time.
Yes, I would agree. And sometimes it's through the Word of God. You'll pick up your Bible and you'll read a scripture, and it's like, okay, that's the answer that I was looking for. And, you know, one of the things that I would recommend, too, is that when you ask, too, sometimes that gives an opportunity for a deceiving spirit to come in and to try to think you think one thing when that's not clearly the answer. So, you know, what I try to pray on a regular basis is to keep all those deceiving spirits far from me and help me discern the difference between them and to have that discernment. Because sometimes you ask for an answer, I mean, it can give you know, Satan, his minions, an opportunity to come in and to speak a lie to you.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that, you know, one of the things that we'll move on here, but, you know, here recently is what we've been talking about is getting closer to God. Back to that, just like John said, sanctification. This is a big part of it, you know, getting into his word. Why are we going through these things, trying to draw ourselves closer to God and having that relationship with God? You know, on the other side of things, you see that these churches, these episcopal churches, I don't know if you gentlemen saw this week or not. Richard talked about it last Sunday a little bit on the scriptural review of the news, but it kind of hit a little bit bigger in the news this week, and it was Gender Identity Invades the Church was one of the articles that I ran across. And it talks about how these episcopal churches have banned masculine language for God. And basically that they're coming up with a new Bible and they're changing everything that refers to God as a man into a God is a, when you talk about God, God is a man or a woman or both. It's a gender neutral situation. The Church of Sweden made similar changes back in 2017, and when it voted to use only gender-neutral pronouns in preference to God. You talk about a slap on the face. It's like, and, you know, I thought, the first thing I thought about when I was reading this was judgment starts in the house of God. And I wouldn't want to step foot in one of those church buildings. That's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah,
there's no question. There's no question about that. The things that are going on in our country, like what you were just talking about right there, Jason, we got the president going to the National Breakfast of Prayer, and that's a great thing. But there's so many different types of denominations out there in this land. We really need to work on shoring up the foundation of what this country was built on. That's our job as a ministry and as the body of Christ. And if that foundation isn't put back in order, then everything that we've been praying for and hoping for, then, you know, we can lose it. So that is just simply unbiblical what that denomination did. Because we all know our God's a masculine God. We all know where the feminine gods come from. They come from the pit of hell, and they're trying to interject that into our Christian society, and we really need to come against that in prayer and we need to come up with a plan to come against that, because that is not good. And you know how God's people are sheep. It is not a compliment. That means sheep are dumb, and they will fall for anything if it feels good and it makes them feel good. And, you know, we need to get a little more fear of the Lord in people around us. That's something that we definitely need to pray about and come against. And
well, one of the examples of that they did is an example to illustrate the point. They provided a verse from Genesis chapter 17 in which God tells Abraham, "I am El Shaddai." According to the new reading of the Old Testament, the non-masculine translation of El Shaddai would be God with breasts. And that's how perverted they are. I mean, I think that
God with breasts?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, they're saying, I mean, it's even coming out that there is not a stitch of scholarly evidence to support any of their new translations and what they're rewriting. And the thing is this is still, this is something that is looked at as a Christian church. People think that it's a Christian place that they play. I mean, this is like, I mean, I'm reading some of this stuff, and a lot of this stuff we're not even going to go into because I wouldn't talk about it on the radio, but this is like a Baal temple is what it really is.
Well, yeah, you got to look back. You look back at even the series that I'm on right now of the Nothing New Under the Sun. Look back at the time of Ahab and Jezebel and the things that were going on in the Baal temples. Well, that was the beginning, I believe, of getting rid of the difference between gender. And then now you got, obviously, Hillary Clinton's in the news quite a bit these days, but I'm hoping to bring out the fact that the early 90s and the Clinton administration, the early Clinton administration, they understood spiritual warfare better than we did at the time, I believe. And there was a lot of things that influenced the culture of the United States of America during that time, things that never before were presented to the people. And I also believe that they had a lot of help from the demonic forces of hell through rituals and things that they did. But it's important to their conquering of this nation to get rid of the definition, you know, or whatever, between genders. I mean, let's face it, Hillary Rodham Clinton was probably the first woman in politics who had such a passion and hunger and thirsting for power. And that was typically a role that was held, you know, by a man. And I just think that all of this ties in to like you said, the temples of Baal, and they're getting rid of masculinity. You know, the patriarch. How many times did Pastor Peters teach us that their goal is to destroy the order? Right. It's all about the order. There can't be order in the church. There can't be order in this country, unless there's order in the home. And that's why that was such a powerful series that struck so many people. But it's the Jezebel spirit in the land. It's still in the land in a big way, and it's still causing more divorces and more families to be broken up than any other spirit, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and it's an attack against, you know, God created man and woman. Now they're trying, yep, to make it where it's gender neutral. You know, they're trying to destroy what God made is what I think it is. I mean, you know, there's you know, having a man of God, we know that there's been a war on men for a long time.
Yeah.
There's also a war against women. They don't want women anymore. So,
well, that's what these women's marches are and stuff, and half those women don't even understand what they're marching for.
No, they don't. They don't have a clue.
They're supporting. Yeah.
Yes, it's very exciting. Go ahead, John.
Along those lines, the story that I was going to start with that I think is significant was the fact that Thursday a story came out that Melania Trump had White House spiritually cleansed before moving in, pastor claims. And it says, Trump went on a spiritual warfare offensive against demonic forces, says pastor. And then, let's see. Apparently, well, this is good and bad, and this is why I think that there may be, you know, some conflicting thoughts going on in the White House right now as well. But the president allowed 40 pastors to come into the White House and anoint him with oil and lay their hands on him and pray over him. Now, which denominations were those? We don't know, but most of them don't understand the truth of the gospel. But anyways, the significant thing, I think, is at least he's humble enough to recognize one of the first presidents in the history of this country, I think, to other than Reagan and maybe a few other ones, but to realize that he needs God's help and God's guidance. But the significant thing that I saw was that Melania Trump, who, by the way, is the first lady to that I know of to open up an assembly in with the Lord's Prayer, which just made the left and the Democrats go insane. But she told President Trump that she would not spend a night in that White House until it was cleansed from all of the evil spirits. And it just so happened that they tore everything out, the carpets, the drapes, and everything else. And I don't know for sure, but ran into a lady down in Oklahoma City who said she was close to the president. And apparently there was even things within the walls, idols and things like that. But what it says was that they removed every single pagan symbol. The only thing that was left in the White House was a cross. And then they elaborated that the Clintons had a fascination with Haiti and voodoo. And apparently during the 8 years of the Abomination administration, all kinds of African art and Indian, you know, all kinds of different demonic idols were brought in into the White House. And I guess even in Hillary's new book, What Happened, she comments that she was so frustrated when she lost the election that she wanted to craft voodoo dolls of the members of press and Congress and stick them for.
Well, yeah, and that was in the news. That was all over the news when that happened.
Right. So maybe the reason that there's some things that are happening in the country that are at least better in the eyes of the Christians is the fact that they're losing their power. You know, I brought up last week that the Washington Monument is closed indefinitely. They don't know if they can fix the issues with the Washington Monument and get it open again. And, you know, and then we see that the White House has been cleansed and every single idol that was in that place, including some that were well hidden on purpose, I'm sure, were removed, you know, and probably some of those prayers for the president and the anointing. The other thing it's said too is that there was some of those pastors who understood anointing oil apparently because they had went through and anointed and prayed over the different areas in the White House. Now, granted, there's probably a lot of them that may have brought in demonic forces, and I think it's really important that we understand that it's critical to understand who it is who's laying hands on you. But it appears that there was some good. out of that, and the fact that they had the spiritual discernment to realize that these demonic idols and things can and will cause influence, you know, on the inhabitants.
This is why I think this is such a opportunity for us as a ministry and for all the men on this ministry to really proclaim the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if that's the case, then there are certain spells and stuff being broken that we really need to hammer. You know, we need to understand, you know, we all know Public Law 97-280, where that law says that the Bible is the rock upon which this country was founded. And we really need to hammer and understand that we are the body of Christ. Ephesians 1 says that we are the body of Christ and he is the head. In Isaiah 11, it says, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Well, if Jesus is the head, that means the shoulders is part of the body. Well, that's us. We need to be advancing his government. Jesus says, take my yoke. Where does that yoke go? It goes on the shoulders. What's the yoke? That's his law. That's his rule. We really need to be pushing that. And all these ministries out there that are not pushing Jesus' government, which this country was founded on, they really need to be called out on it. And that's our mission. That's the number one mission that I believe every Christian should have. And whatever your role is on that, we need to do it and do it faithfully, because we are a body. There is no other part that is more important than the other. But we need to keep that mission, that goal. We need to pray about it, and we need to act on what we believe. I honestly believe that we can do this. It's great that these things are happening at the top level, but then again, the foundation, we need to shore up that foundation, that biblical foundation across this land. And I believe that's the job that Jesus gave us. And we really need to act on that. And if I'm out of line anywhere by saying any of that, you know, I'm all ears. But this is an opportunity that God has laid on us on a golden platter. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to take that opportunity and act on what our pastor has taught us and what God has taught us? Or are we going to sit back? And each and every one of us on this ministry needs to ask themselves, you know, ask God, like we talked about earlier, you know, what is this? You know, whatever is going on in my life, or what will you have me do? And whatever God tells you to do, we need to do it. And it's exciting. It's exciting because there's a lot of people out there. It's like I was telling the congregation, I had a lesson last week, and I ended the lesson with, you know, most people that we come into contact are not heirs of the new covenant. And they all agreed with that. Well, the next two lessons is going to be, what is the new covenant, and how does it? You know,
it's really easy. It's really easy to agree with that if you don't know what the new covenant is, isn't it?
Well, you know, and that's where you might lose some people, but they all say they believe the Bible through and through. And one of the guys told me, he goes, because he knows I'm trying to tell them something, and he said, he was reading this study, when to break a habit, you have to do it at least 12 times in order to get it. And I sat there and I thought about it. And I'm like, okay, well, at first I was discouraged, but then I thought about it. For one, that means he's receptive. He is. But I'm going to have to do it 12 times. If that study is true, it's repetitive. It's repetitive. That's how people get trained. You know, my dad trained us boys on how to do a job, and it's just repetitive, repetitive. Never deviate from how you do it, and then you will get the results that you want. And it's going to happen, you know. the Bible says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But we need to stand on that. And it's going to happen. I'm pumped listening to this stuff. And it excites me, and it's motivating. And I hope it motivates everybody else. And does anybody else have any other thoughts on that? On this?
No, I think you're on the right track. Go ahead.
It goes back to, if you got your newsletter and you read the article on power and authority, it's we, the Christian followers of Jesus Christ, need to start targeting the smaller things first. We need to start targeting our city councils, and we need to start targeting these Planned Parenthood facilities. And then think about that. All of a sudden, you got people all across the nation. I mean, we talked about last week how buildings were anointed, courthouses and Capitol buildings and all of these buildings that are powerful in the kingdom of Baal. They have been anointed, and for the most part, whenever possible, it's the cornerstone that was anointed and claimed to the service of Jesus Christ, and all of that was done in faith. And now we're starting to see, over the last couple of years, we're starting to see the those things that were done in faith come to fruition. And I think right now, like you said, Zach, it's critical that all of those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ take this spiritual warfare seriously and dedicate the time that's necessary, even if it's just locally, to pray against these demonic forces of hell. I had an opportunity just recently driving. I love to drive, just like you say, that time alone with the Lord. But this particular time, I was listening to the books that we offer. One of them is Into the Darkness, and this present darkness. But if you listen to that story, it's a long book. It's probably 18 to 20 hours. But it talks about the spiritual warfare in a small town and how these demonic forces got together, and they had their followers that were in positions of authority within this small town. But what you didn't see in the unseen war were the angels. And those angels were working to protect those that were singled out for destruction from the enemy. But they were limited in what they could do until they had the prayer power, the prayer cover, they called it, and it makes total sense. So it's when the Christians who are called by his name, that are not only Christian in title, but the followers of Jesus Christ, actually put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, and then dedicate that time on their knees to prayer, to the leaders in the country and leaders in their towns and in their cities. And then that sufficient prayer cover is there. And those angels that we talked about, the guardian, and especially the warring angels that battle Leviathan, in the high places, they have so much more power because of the praying saint. And that book just made total sense to me as far as how we can take this country back. We know that it's a spiritual warfare, and we've been given many of the tools. In fact, I think we have probably pretty much all of them right now. We just need to go back and remember some of the things that were taught to us, and to continue to look into the Word, because twice in the Bible, in Daniel and Revelation, it said to seal up these things until the last days, until the proper time. And we know that there's things in the Bible that have been there the whole time. Those words have been there, that teaching's been there, but it will not be revealed. We will not have the eyes to see until the proper time. And it appears to me that this is the proper time if we take that opportunity and don't fall asleep once again as the watchman
No, I agree with that 100%. I think that that's got to be working of the Holy Spirit, because this last week I was driving to town, and they were having their city council meetings. They have a city council meeting the first Wednesday of the week here in La Porte, and there's usually 20-25 people that show up for it. They got three, four council members that are there, and people show up and they talk about what's going on in the community. And we live in a very, very small community. But, you know, I was thinking about it driving by past that meeting. It's open to the public, and I thought, you know what, it's all it would take is one person there, and we could change that.
Praying.
Yep, exactly. And so I'm going to try to make a point of, you know, doing that, of going to that meeting. And, you know, even if you don't say anything at first, you know, just like you said, just pray, you know, and anoint. It wouldn't hurt to anoint the door before everybody walked in there either.
Absolutely.
So it's
definitely,
you know,
faith without works is nothing.
Exactly. So, well, and we have the ability to change, you know, have to be an influence, like Zach, what you're doing up there in your community, you know, preaching the word, educating people. We can do that on a community level.
For sure. And John, I agree with you. You know, we gotta, as our body, you know, I don't know exactly how you said it, but like regroup and, you know, get retaught up on some of these weapons that the pastor gave us, and, you know, get everything into focus and then move forward. And as like I tell the guys here at this local church there, we, you know, when it's just us, the normal people, we can sit there and argue and talk about stuff. You know, you can throw your point of view in, we'll talk about it. But when someone new comes through that door, we are united. And the whole name of the game is to show them how to get the seal of Jesus Christ on them. Because they do, they believe in that. They know how to get that seal. And that's what the name of the game is when somebody else comes in. And, you know, when it's just the norm, you know, a lot of stuff gets talked about. And, you know, the different points of views. And a lot of times we come up with the conclusion. Some of the times it doesn't, not so much. But so we need to understand, as we are brothers and sisters in Jesus, you know, we are not going to agree on everything. But when there's somebody new, the main objective is to get that seal on them, whether they are willing to do it or not. That's up to them or up to God, however that works. But stay focused on the mission. And the mission is to get people into that new covenant and to have them educated on what exactly that new covenant is. And it's like I told them last week, you know, those people are still bound to the law. Jesus freed us from the law. That doesn't give us the right to violate that law, but it's planting that seed to, you know, to get them to understand that the law still has much power. And if I got to go through it 12 times with them to get them to understand the law is still effective, and that is the government of Jesus Christ, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's what we need to have in our minds. And whoever we come in contact with, if you get an opportunity to witness to somebody, that's the main objective, to get them to understand that. And, you know, these are exciting times. And I would just hate to see this opportunity lost. And it's exciting. I'm glad to be alive at this time. And
amen.
Another thing I wanted to bring up was, I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You mentioned the Planned Parenthood thing, and how we all know how terrible it is. But even us as Christians, I don't think we really grasp the I want to say this, the full power of that Roe versus Wade. So in the 70s, Nixon federally funded that. Well, what does that mean? Each and every taxpayer of the United States literally put energy into doing that deed. And that's why I think that the churches have not screamed their heads off about it. Does anybody else have any comments on that?
Well, I think, like you say, by doing that, we've basically allowed state and legal ground to operate in that realm. It's the same thing that if you say something about your child, oh, he's stupid, he'll never amount to anything. I believe Satan can take those words and go to Jesus and say, look, his own father said this about him. You know, I have legal ground to operate in their lives. That's why it's so important. I catch myself every now and then, you know, your kids can irritate you. And I just repent in the very first second. I say, Lord, forgive me, and please do not allow this to be used as legal ground against, you know, whoever it is that I said the words. And the Lord convicts me instantly these days, and I'm thankful.
Well, and I think one of the things that we've been talking about, we are just about out of time, men, but, you know, 2 Corinthians 2:10, or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And for a lack of time, I'll stop there. But you just contemplate divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. I mean, that's huge right there. And you know, we've been given the power, we've been given the authority, we've been given the ability, we've been given the weapons. And like, you know, Zach said, let's start using them. And I think that, you know, we've been given it. We can start right there. Everybody wants to go out and do something big. They want to go and, you know, save their state or save their nation or anything. We can save it on a community level.
Yeah. One thing we missed, One thing we missed on the anointing, I think, was the university. Because if you look at the time that we started anointing the courthouses and the Capitol buildings, we've gained substantial ground in the legal system, but we've lost in leaps and bounds in the educational system. And that's another thing that book exposed to me, was they were after that local university so that they can indoctrinate the children. We need to rethink going and anointing these universities, because that is where this generation, a couple of generations now, are being indoctrinated into the demonic forces.
Yes. Well, I would agree, and I think we can do that. We're out of time, men. Thanks for joining us this morning.
You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting a politically incorrect message you truly can't get anywhere else. SFAWBN features music shows, health shows, science programs, roundtable discussions, as well as messages by the late Pastor Peter J. Peters. To see our full program schedule, visit SFAWBN's website at SFAWBN.com. That's SFAWBN.com.